here's a story from The World.
When a world leader has been out of office for a while, it can be a time for reflection. What went right, what went wrong, and what those in power now might be able to learn from it all. That's what former British Prime Minister David Cameron does in this week's edition of The Economist Asks.
I'm always a sort of optimist and take the view, yes, okay, the global order isn't working very well at the moment, but that means we need to change and do things differently. I think the mistake would be to just think, if a few elections go a different way, if Brexit gets done and gets over with and someone else occupies the White House, we can just go back to the world as it was before. I think that's not the case.
David Cameron spoke with Anne McElvoy, host of The Economist Asks podcast, and joins us from London. So this was a wide-ranging interview you had with David Cameron, Anne. How candid was he, and how reflective was he about his 6 years in office, 2010 to 16?
I found him very open and reflective, not only about international institutions that we heard about there, but also that sense that's bubbling underneath it, of perhaps a rise in a nationalist or more populist direction and what centrists like himself should take away from it. So there was a good amount of self-criticism along the way. And of course, in the UK, what hangs over this is Brexit and this deadline, which is now coming up very fast on us to get a trade deal with the EU or not, which would make a big difference, really, to Britain's relations with the rest of Europe. So he was in very thoughtful mood about that.
I am optimistic, actually, because the way I look at it, if you stand back for a second, you can see the what looks like the last two areas of disagreement are over fishing rights and state aid. Now, these are important issues, but it must be possible to reach agreement on those two things.
Well, Brexit is the one major issue that will be forever tied to Cameron's legacy. Those who supported Brexit won the referendum, and a few hours after those results came in, David Cameron said he would resign as Prime Minister. It was quite a day.
I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months, but I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination. This is not a decision I've taken lightly, but I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required.
Anne McElvoy, there's this tell-all book out called Diary of an MP's Wife that claims Cameron drowned his sorrows in cocktails and wine after the referendum came out.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? He wasn't the only one. It's a very funny book, I have to say. It's written by Sacha Soir, who is a stonking great Sloane, as you say in Britain. She's very well connected. She's very posh, but she has a very acid pen. And it does give us a very funny insight into that slightly high-end, bit too much to drink, bit of humour that's a little bit perhaps not so deemed appropriate these days from David Cameron and his entourage. I think it's actually one of the funniest books I've ever read about the political class when they've got that third button undone.
Note taken here. All right. As I mentioned, Anne, Cameron served 6 years as the British Prime Minister. His years coincided with Barack Obama's years in office. Was Cameron at all forthcoming about his relationship with the US during those 6 years?
Clearly, David Cameron and Barack Obama were tied together, particularly on interventions in Afghanistan. They fell out a bit, and we talked about this, over Syria. And I pressed him on whether he blamed President Obama for failing to intervene in Syria. And I think David Cameron, who was trying to get support in Parliament to join in, felt that he had the rug pulled. And he said, yes, absolutely, it was a mistake not to act when a red line was being crossed. And then he goes into what he sees are the consequences of that failure, as he would put it, by the Obama administration. So it's quite interesting to hear that from David Cameron. He's not really thought of as being one of those very ideological, zealous British prime ministers about military interventions. He clearly feels, in this case, that the West let Syria down tragically.
I think with Syria that, you know, rightly people say Iraq points to the dangers of intervention. Well, Syria does point to the dangers of non-intervention. I mean, we didn't, in my view, do enough right from the start to try and back legitimate, democratic, pluralistic Syrian people against the butchery of Assad. And the price that's been paid for failure is, you know, massive in terms of the lives lost, what's happened to that country, the refugee crisis and all the rest of it. So I think, you know, anyone who was in power in those years has got to look back and think, well, what could we have done differently? Now, there are an awful lot of people who say nothing. Actually, you almost intervened too much anyway. But I don't agree with that. And I think specifically on the chemical weapons attack, if you draw a red line in international affairs over the use of chemical weapons, when that red line is crossed, you must act. And I think it was a mistake not to act. Now,
by Barack Obama, by President Obama.
Yeah, I lost the vote in the House of Commons, so couldn't act. Yes, absolutely. And I think it was a mistake not to act. Not that that would have solved the Syrian crisis, but I think that message about a red line being crossed and not being acted on, I think that resonated not just in Damascus, but also elsewhere around the world.
Finally, Anne, did Cameron have anything to say about the state of affairs in the U.S. today, like thoughts on trade deals with the U.K. or anything in that area?
Well, everyone's obviously looking to see what happens in November from that point of view. You got a bit of a warning shot from Joe Biden saying that Britain had to be very careful not to do anything that could unravel that Good Friday agreement that protects peace in Northern Ireland. When I said, well, that doesn't look so good for Boris Johnson's government because he does still want this big US trade deal that keeps being promised, David Cameron felt that when and if Joe Biden got elected, that there would be new talks that would resume about that and the British government would be able to explain its position. So he didn't really feel that it was the end of days, but he did say it was just an interesting tone. He said, whether you can get a big trade deal, he said, is another matter altogether. He was suggesting we get an open ear, but not necessarily a signature on the dotted line.
Anne McElvoy, host of the podcast The Economist Asks. To hear more of a conversation with former British Prime Minister David Cameron, check out The Economist Asks podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Anne, thanks a lot.
Always great to share it with you, Marco.